So we have a special speaker today, a good friend of mine, actually. Her name is Katie Pessin. She's an executive pastor at a church here in Illinois. And ever since I've had the chance to get to know her, I've been so impressed by her faith, her organizational and leadership skill. In our conversations, just even about the direction that the church needs to go, especially in times of COVID, I've just really, really been impressed by her, and I think you will be as well. She is married to her husband, Jeremy. She has a couple of little ones, and again, as I mentioned, she is a pastor here locally and very, very well respected. So she's going to speak outside of kind of our phrase by phrase, and she's going to talk specifically about the hour in the Our Father, and I'm really excited about that. So let's welcome her together.
Well, hey, Harbor of Hope. It is so good to be with you today. I'm so grateful Hank invited me into your study of the Lord's Prayer, and I'm looking forward to leaning into that with you this morning. Well, I'm from Illinois. I live in the same town Hank does, actually. And I don't know how it's been out there in Massachusetts, but over here in Illinois, 2020's been pretty crazy. The year started, if you remember, with wildfires in Australia, mounting tensions between the United States and Iran, a presidential impeachment trial, and the United Kingdom exited the European Union. Next, we started to hear a little bit about this coronavirus thing in China and how it might be a bit of a deal. Spoiler alert, turns out it was a big deal. And so now, in the midst of the world being brought to a standstill and attempts to combat COVID-19, we've had our attention brought again to the persistent racial inequality in our country. Congo experienced an Ebola outbreak, elephants were dying in Botswana, and murder hornets have invaded Washington State. And in the midst of a global pandemic, we're trying to figure out how to get rid of a virus, how to make meaningful movement forward against racism, how to work and live safely, protect vulnerable populations both from the virus and from the effects of the handling of the virus, how to reopen schools, gather safely for church, navigate a divisive election year, and not lose it on our two kids who keep interrupting us 27 times an hour while we are attempting to work from home. Does anybody feel me? In the midst of all of this, it's understandable that managing our own individual lives seems almost impossible. It's hard to stay on top of our own daily issues, much less try to care well for others. That's why praying the Lord's Prayer has been such a beneficial spiritual practice for me. As Harbor has been studying through the Lord's Prayer, you've talked about how Jesus is not simply giving his disciples some words to memorize. He's giving them a new paradigm, a new set of lenses to view the world through. The Sermon on the Mount outlines life in the kingdom of God. And so in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is telling them, if you want to cooperate with life in the kingdom of God, then this is how you need to pray. I know you all are journeying through the prayer phrase by phrase, unpacking each as it gives a vision for worship, dependence, forgiveness, and mission. But today, I want to really drill down on one word. In English, it's just three little letters. Our. O-U, our. This prayer begins with one simple word, our. Typically, when I pray this prayer, I jump straight to the meaning of the word Father. And in doing so, I skip right over one of the most important characteristics of the prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, the word I is never used. No use at all of I, me, or my. In this prayer, we see only we, us, and our. Now, for the first hearers of this prayer, it was probably not uncommon, striking, or even all that interesting that the prayer uses communal language. Many Jewish liturgical prayers make use of the word we to stress the communal dimension of the practice of prayer. But today, in 21st century USA, I wonder if many of us have paused to consider what it means that the prayer Jesus gave us is not a prayer for an individual, but for a community. What it means that Jesus is giving us a new paradigm for prayer, and that apparently prayer in the kingdom of God means our gaze is not to be only on ourselves, but on the community around us. This prayer works against our Western individualism. So in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray not only as individuals concerned with our own needs, but to pray as a community, to pray as one united church. To pray Our Father in community changes the way we pray the prayer. I cannot pray Our Father without acknowledging my brothers and sisters matter every bit as much as I do to God. I cannot pray Our Father without taking on my brother's burdens and needs. I cannot pray the Our Father without coming face to face with my need for forgiveness from those with whom I am praying. This morning, we're going to see that to pray Our Father is a declaration of equality, a statement of solidarity, and an invitation to humility. A declaration of equality, a statement of solidarity, and an invitation to humility. To pray Our Father is first a declaration of equality. Now, the idea that entrance into a relationship with Christ comes hand in hand with entrance into the global family of God is probably not a new idea to most of us. If you've been around the church long enough, you've probably heard verses like 1 John 3:1. See what great love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. It is astounding that God chooses to call people like you and me his children. I'll never get over it. I hope you never get over it. But right about here, I start thinking about the ending of the movie Aladdin. So Jafar, you know, has gone crazy with all the power given to him by Genie's obligation to fulfill his three wishes. First, he wants to be a sultan, then a powerful wizard. And then in this like stroke of genius, Aladdin tricks him into wishing to become a genie. And Jafar's brief moment of elation and his newfound power is quickly deflated by the realization of what comes with that power. Phenomenal cosmic power! Itty bitty living space. And he's pulled into the lamp and sent by the genie into what we're left to assume will be thousands of lonely years in the Cave of Wonders. How is this like the joy we have in being a part of the family of God, Katie? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Here's the deal. Right about the time I'm really basking in the glow of singing that third chorus of, I'm a child of God, yes I am. I look over. I happen to see who else is basking in the beauty of that moment. That guy who is way too political, the wrong way, on Facebook is singing, I'm a child of God. The woman I just know thinks she's better than me because her kids have never had a public temper tantrum is singing, I'm a child of God. The person who dismissed my pain and made me feel unimportant is singing, I'm a child of God. The person who made an ignorant comment to my friend in a biracial marriage is singing, I am a child of God. And this is our Jafar in the lamp moment. When we realize what it means to become a part of the family of God, the same Heavenly Father who calls me his beloved daughter calls them beloved too. The God who sees me through the lens of Jesus' blood and is for me is for them too. And here we begin to wonder if we can authentically pray our Father. Because to pray our Father requires me not just to call him Father, but it requires me to call all of his children my brothers and sisters. 1 John 5 says that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So to love God means to love his children, all of them. And if I'm honest, I don't want to. But to pray our Father is to preach to myself that whether I like it or not, we are one family, one people. Without Jesus, we're fractured, divided by race, gender, political class, or class, political party, personality, opinions. But in Christ, we're invited into one family where there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, no male or female, and we are all one in Jesus. So to pray the Lord's Prayer is a declaration of equality. To pray the Lord's Prayer is also a statement of solidarity. See, to pray in community means considering what your brother and sister are asking for when they're praying. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread, this day our daily bread. Brothers and sisters, to pray this prayer in community is to be moved to action against injustice in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I was raised in a Christian tradition that taught what might be called the half gospel of personal salvation. It's a half gospel because it's true, but it's incomplete. It's true that God wants a relationship with each of us, but it's incomplete because it leaves out the work that Jesus wants to do right here and now to begin the process of restoring all things. See, I grew up with the impression that getting involved in social justice issues was something for people who didn't believe that God was going to fix all things in the end. But when I pray this prayer in community, that idea is challenged. Listen, I believe with my whole heart that all things will be made right when Jesus returns. I do. And that gives me hope and great peace. But when my black brother and sister have to talk to their 7-year-old about how not to get shot by the police, I am no longer content to wait for heaven. Heaven isn't soon enough. If innocent children are abused in their homes, I'm not content to wait for heaven. Heaven isn't soon enough. If a child's reading level in third grade determines the likelihood of them landing in prison as a grown-up, I'm not content to wait for heaven. If children struggling with their sexual identity are 5 times more likely than their peers to end their lives, I'm not content to wait for heaven. I am not content to wait for heaven. Heaven isn't soon enough. So when we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are declaring our solidarity with those for whom earth could not resemble heaven less. We're asking that the church of Jesus be somehow identified with the working out of the coming of the kingdom of God. We're longing together for the end of the chaotic kingdom of the earth. We're asking our King to bring heaven down. We're begging him that the vulnerable will stop being taken advantage of, that evil will stop winning, and that greed will be destroyed. We're pleading with him that dehumanizing systems will be once and for all toppled into oblivion. And hear this, we're offering ourselves to be part of the solution. Because when our brothers and sisters are suffering, we are not content to wait. We are compelled to do whatever we can to bring heaven to earth now. So to pray our Father is a statement of solidarity. Finally, to pray our Father as a declaration of equality and a statement of solidarity means it cannot help but also be an invitation to humility. When we pray the Lord's Prayer in community, we all acknowledge out loud together that we are not enough. In a fallen world, even in our efforts to usher in the kingdom of God, we'll fail. In the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins," comes after "Your kingdom come." It's really important that in this prayer, we own our need for constant recalibration toward our brothers and sisters. When we're praying these words, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." I see this need for mutual humility and forgiveness, even as we work to bring God's kingdom into this chaotic and uncertain time. In every church, there are people who are gifted and passionate about different issues. Some people are fighting on the front lines of COVID, and they just wish you'd wear that darn mask. Some brothers and sisters are invested deeply in fighting against systems of racial injustice. Some are therapists and social workers who are concerned with vulnerable children who would be much safer risking COVID at school than being abused at home. Other brothers and sisters are passionate about the homeless, the unborn, or mental health. The problem is that especially in an overwhelming season like the one we're in, especially when we're tired, like we all are, we forget that not everyone is given the same assignment. And then we might create an environment wherein if you don't say the magic words I want you to say, or if you don't share my posts on Facebook or show up to the protest or agree with me on this issue, then I might begin to make you feel like you're not welcome. I wish I could tell you that once we follow Jesus, we stop hurting each other. I wish I could tell you that in the church, your feelings would never be hurt. No one will ever say something that deeply wounds you, and you'll never be made to feel like you don't belong. But I can't. To do life together in a fallen world means there will be over and over again opportunities to hurt each other. And that's why we need to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus gave us these words to pray because he knew we would need them. In Luke's version of the prayer, he adds the word all to the petition, as we forgive all those who sin against us. Adding that word where it is serves to underscore the vast number of times we'll be called on to forgive. To pray this prayer in community is to reflect on the astounding mercy of the forgiveness of Jesus, and then to consider it almost nothing to forgive each other in comparison. If we're carrying bitterness toward a brother or sister in Christ, this prayer gives us an opportunity to consider whether or not we understand the great mercy we've been given. As people who've been forgiven much, we are to be known as people who do the same. Forgive again and again and again. So to pray our Father is a declaration of equality, a statement of solidarity, and an invitation to humility. To live this prayer is to embrace the truth that every follower of Jesus is a precious child of God who is my brother or my sister. To pray this prayer is to shoulder each other's burdens and stand together against the kingdom of this world. To pray this prayer together is an invitation to humility as we consider our shared need for God's forgiveness. It's to love each other with no division, to weep with those who weep, even if we don't understand why they're weeping. It's to humbly give and receive forgiveness for every slight in order to keep short accounts and maintain loving unity. And what happens when a community of people demonstrate a unity like this? Well, the world stands in wonder. In the book of Acts, Antioch is named as the first place the church is called Christians. Have you ever wondered why that was? Well, the city of Antioch was, like many Roman cities, segregated by design. So walls literally separated the Syrians from the Greeks. And as any new ethnic group was added, a new wall was erected to section them off. Yet somehow, in the midst of this segregation, a thriving, diverse church blossomed. In a city intentionally divided by ethnicity and class, this diverse church defied classification. The world had no word for them. And that's why a new classification, Christian, was needed. Brothers and sisters, let us live in such a way that the world doesn't know what to do with us. Let us, as we live together in a diverse and unified community, bring our Father glory and honor and praise. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.